Besides helping American movies make action exciting again, Hong Kong cinema has brought competition and Eastern philosophy together.
When you redirect your opponent's energy, you force him to change. So in essence, he defeats himself.
All good films that talk about the nature of winning will virtually always say the same old cliche, which is you're not fighting anyone else, you're fighting yourself, as opposed to literally beating someone else.
Opposites are not always opposites. But opposites are also mirror images. Even in the symbol of the Tao itself, the yin-yang, complementarity and not pure opposition.
The origins of Hong Kong action cinema lie in the ornate tradition of Peking opera. When the Manchus began their conquest of China, they wanted to destroy the country's most powerful fighting force. So they outlawed the Buddhist Shaolin temples, where the monks had developed the lore and practice of martial arts. It's said that when the Southern Temple was burned down around 1760, a surviving monk taught kung fu to opera players to preserve the practice.
Chinese opera is a very, very unique art. It is part musical, part traditional drama, but it also involves wild gymnastics.
Jeff Yang writes about Asian culture and is the co-author of Jackie Chan's autobiography.
Meanwhile, a lot of the original actors who went into the Chinese cinema began in the Chinese opera. So they had that acrobatic training, the martial training. Many of them migrated into the place where there was most demand for their work, which was action film.
Chinese cinema had long thrived in Shanghai, a glamorous city whose highbrow citizens spoke mostly Mandarin. But in the 60s, the legendary Shaw brothers built a huge movie studio in working-class Hong Kong, whipping out nearly 5 films a week in Cantonese. The Shaws made movies that average blue-collar folks wanted to see: sentimental dramas, sword fighting, and martial arts.
Things changed a little bit when rivalries began to develop. There was another film company called Cathay. It was founded by a guy named Dato Lok Wan, and he created a body of work through Cathay that was completely targeted towards a bit more of a bourgeois and elite constituency, so to speak. You know, the Shaw brothers and the Cathay organization ended up becoming this kind of ongoing running gunfight.
Jeff says the two studios battled for audiences, swiping each other's stars or copying each other's projects. But the Shaw brothers prevailed by dubbing their final movies into both Mandarin and Cantonese, thus making their movies accessible to nearly all of China.
And at that point, the Shaw brothers were essentially the undisputed kings of Asia's film industry.
Later on, new directors began to steer the cinema towards individual, conflicted heroes and their fighting skills. Hong Kong film expert Rick Myers calls these martial arts world films, stories that took place between warriors on an almost mythic plane.
If we had gunslingers, these were sword slingers. And there was spectacular movement and beautiful color. These movies were not only impressive cinematically, but they were insane in their approach, sometimes literally insane. At the end of Clans of Intrigue, a character rips off their own arm and uses it as a spear.
In the 70s, producer Raymond Chow left the Shaw Studio to start Golden Harvest Studios. Chow's own entry into the action arena? Bruce Lee. Bruce was cool, fluid, with an iron fist. After Lee's tragic death, the industry sought to duplicate his charisma and fighting style. But there were a lot of cheaper films, ones that were kind of looking for any excuse to throw the first punch.
What we've seen so far is, as Jackie Chan himself put it, "Why you look at me? Fight, 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 fight." In most of the kung fu movies we saw, it was really the cinema of vengeance. It wasn't the cinema of rivalry. In these wonderful Ma films, martial art world films, there was real rivalry in that these people would be vying with each other to become famous in the world of swordplay. So they would greet each other by saying, "Ah, are you not the man who killed 108 men last Tuesday?" And it was like, "Yes, I am."
"Master Wong, I have come to challenge you so that the people will know that my martial arts are the best."
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is a very good example in that Chow Yun-fat and Zhang Ziyi are really rivals, but they're not really enemies, although Zhang Ziyi seems to want to make Chow Yun-fat's character into an enemy. But the Cheng Pei-pei character and Chow Yun-fat are clearly enemies.
And so you die.
And so shall you.
It's virtually a matter of how each character sees themselves and what each character wants to accomplish.
That is the kind of rivalry that you most frequently see, where you can see the human frailties and weaknesses within each, and also the human kindness, warmth, or mercy.
Rivalry is something that involves brains, while enemies is, you know, you're the bad guy, I'm the good guy, that's that.
Fine. Not friends, not sisters.
The, you know, idea of the warrior woman who kind of steps into armor and takes the field of battle is something that also comes from Chinese opera. There is kind of a more interesting rivalry there, which is that gender conflict, rivalry between the sexes.
When Hong Kong film began, film work was considered so lowly that men shouldn't do it. So we always had these great women actresses with mustaches. The problem was that once Hong Kong film was revolutionized with a film called One-Armed Swordsman, which turned it into all about machismo, it wasn't until much later in the 80s that Corey Yun Kwai did a movie called Yes, Madam, starring this newcomer Michelle Yeoh. Suddenly, studios and executives discovered, wow, when women do kung fu, they look really good.
We drew the photo!
Once they're allowed in the film, they are treated just the way men are, leading to some spectacular sequences of brutality. Here in America, we've never been without the gun. Our movies are not about excellence of self, they're about excellence of aim.
Like America, the Chinese are fascinated with modern-day cop shows and gangster films. In the 80s and 90s, director John Woo developed a cinematic style for his bullet-riddled crime stories. He combines the high emotion of opera with the gymnastics and camera work of martial arts cinema. But as his forebears had once extended a sword or a fist into the frame, he extends a gun. And rivalry for Wu is an expression of the Tao.
That cop and criminal, that hero and villain, are true kind of mirror images of one another. And it's obvious that with just a subtle shift, one could be the other. It really is kind of like a tango. And it all ends with this gothic operatic sequence in a hailstorm of gunfire. And then when they actually confront, they realize they have more in common than they are different. In that level, you know, rivalry isn't expressed as a shared almost love, a shared brotherhood that expresses itself in a finale in which the two die hand in hand or side by side.
For Studio 360, I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez.